Fighters, today on the Contractor Fight podcast, I get to talk to my buddy Tom Drost. He's the CEO and founder of Estimate Rocket. They serve thousands of service contractors all over the place, and they're closely aligned with the principles here in the Contractor Fight. You know, both of our businesses, I guess, over the past decade have quote-unquote come up together and been a great relationship. These are some really good people. One of the ways that they stand apart, you guys, is the personal touch. A lot of software companies and things like that, you can't ever talk to a person and have a relationship. These guys listen to their clients. They're there to guide them. They do a lot of things in an uncommon way. And so today I'm super excited to have a conversation with Tom. Tom and his team, they're also going to be, they're one of our sponsors at the Mile High Profit Summit coming up in September in the Denver area. So you can meet them there, talk to them, and demo what they got going on. But anyway, head to the show notes. Click the link for Estimate Rocket and for Mile High. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Tom. Tom, welcome to the fight. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great, Tom. How about yourself? It's great to be here, as always.
Great to be here with you, and I've been looking forward to chatting with you. It's always good catching up with peeps at Estimate Rocket. And I want to give everyone a warning that you might hear a dog. You might hear a teenager. I'm doing everything in my power to keep it quiet, but people are home right now for some reason while I'm recording, and dogs are being morons more than normal. So there, I've set the expectation, man. See, that's all you got to do. You got to set expectations.
It's summertime, Tom.
It is summertime. But we actually have one of our kids started school a week ago for the 2nd of August.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's crazy. And last year she started on July 31st, which is ridiculous. But anyway.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, but they have a fall break for like 2 weeks. And that's kind of a thing that's new to me. I never had heard of fall break till she had it. But anyway, enough of that. That's not why people are here. So Tom, give us, before we kind of dig a little deeper and stuff, I know you're going to be at Mile High Profit Summit in September, your team, and hanging with us, which is going to be awesome. And people will be able to pick brains and talk to you guys about what you got going on. But for those that have no idea what Estimate Rocket is, or they're just not familiar with it, they've heard of it, but they don't know all that it does. Give us kind of a 30,000 foot flyby on that, please.
Sure. Well, Estimate Rocket is a tool, software tool that provides pretty much anything a service contractor needs to manage their business from lead to paid through accountability and planning. Estimating, quoting is kind of our specialty. That's in the name, but automated following up during the sales process, invoicing, scheduling appointments for work and sales, and really most importantly, knowing your numbers. We make it easy to know your numbers so you can really manage your business.
Yeah. When did you start?
Estimate Rocket has been in the field for about 7 years now.
Yeah, I know it's been a while, man. That's pretty cool. I've loved watching you guys, continue to gain momentum and do all that you're doing and stuff like that. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. You are some of the nicest people on the planet to work with. There's a human element that you guys have in your company as part of your culture that I don't see in a lot of like software companies. So, and I think you guys do a great job of listening to your clients over the years. I've just watched you implement things that I know you got feedback on and stuff. And again, a lot of companies don't do that. So you guys are doing some things right, man. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. We really do pride ourselves on our customer service. That's to me, that's what it's all about is, and just like service contractors, honestly, if you're not taking care of your customers, then somebody else is.
Yeah, there's so much to dig in on that. I know one of the things that we tossed around talking about here today, which probably people will not expect, but I think will be a great thing to talk about here today because it's at the forefront of most contractors' pain receptors. Is that a thing, pain receptor? Did I just make that?
Absolutely. Okay. No, absolutely.
Is hiring. Because when we were going back and forth on this, I said, man, what do you want to chat on? And you brought up hiring, and I didn't see that coming, man. So, but I love it. I think that's a great topic here. So what made you say we should dig into hiring here a little bit today?
Well, one of the things that I hear a lot from our customers as they're growing is when do I hire? You know, when do I need somebody else? What, you know, what are the moments? And in my view, one of the easiest ways to hire is if you've got more business than you can handle. And once you get into the mindset a little bit of planning it out a little, because people will wait. If you're good at what you do, they might not wait a year, but they might wait a couple months. Gives you the opportunity when you build that backlog and you know you can count on it, you got closed deals, to go and say, okay, hey, I got all this business now. I can hire and bring on some new personnel, and because nobody's going to complain if we can do their jobs a little bit earlier. So to me, that's one of those big keys to ease that pain of that first employee or the second or the third. You know, once you get 20 or 30, in some respects, it gets easier, but it's in the early stages that I think it's the hardest.
So what are some indicators from your point of view of when somebody should hire? Like you said, when you got more work than you can handle, but how do you know that?
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully you got a software tool to track it. So you're out there and you're closing deals. You've got all these deals in the pipeline and you need a tool that'll say, hey, you've got this much closed work. You got this much work scheduled. And you look at the two of those and go, hey, I can start booking out some of these other closed deals and schedule them. And once I've got that done, then I know, hey, I've easily got another month's worth. You know, I can hire one or two people and I know I got them covered for the first month. And I think that's the hardest time. That early stage.
Yeah, a lot, I think it's a mindset shift as well with a lot of guys. They see it as what I hear. I don't know what you hear, but I hear like, I don't want to hire because I'm not sure I can afford it.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, well, the mindset shift here is that your field employees and oftentimes some of your overhead employees, you know, but we'll just talk field employees here. Your field employees are not an expense. They're an investment.
Absolutely.
So it's like if you price your work properly and you continue to sell and fill the calendar and fill your pipeline with leads and all these other things, the affordability thing's a non-issue because they're an investment. They're helping you produce revenue. And exactly. That's the shift that I really want to help people with. And you know, you talked about like having a software or CRM or whatever it is that gives somebody like, hey, this is how much closed work we have. One of the things that I always approached it, and I know all trades are different and stuff based on whether they use subs and, you know, sure. Types of projects, but I come from the painting world where it's like 85% of the bid is labor. It's man hours, right? And So instead of me, we had our sales goals and stuff, Tom, but I actually had how many man hours do I need to sell goal each week?
Bingo. Yeah.
That was my thing. And I knew like if we, you know, guys, there's sales and then there's production. We all know that. But like if I go out and sell $3 million worth of work, what I personally did is I would break that down into like, okay, that's around 35,000 man hours over a course of time. Right. And that's it. And obviously, I think some people will wait a year or more if it's like a big remodel project or it's something that requires more planning, design, building a house, whatever. I totally get that. Sure. But then there's specialty trades like, you know, the guys that lift concrete or the painters and stuff where it's a quicker sales cycle, quicker production cycle. So to me, that was always an indicator. Like, Tom, if I was like, okay, I just booked, I won't go, you know, 3 million. But if I book, you know, $250,000 and your average, you know, sales rate is $90 a man hour, that's like 20, we'll call it 2,800 hours divided by 160 hours in a month. That's 17 guys if I'm going to produce it in a month.
You know?
And so that's where I think all these different factors come in.
We actually created a little spreadsheet that we're using in our vision conference, which is really about sales planning and profit planning and, you know, how to go about the process. Cause that's another thing that I think people are just don't have the knowledge about. And we created this simple spreadsheet that we give away that basically you plug in a number of people at the top and it works backwards. It says, okay, if you have 10 people, you have X number of chargeable hours a month. Mm-hmm. And this is what your potential earning is if you're billing them out for 35, whatever your overhead time is, you know, maybe you only bill them out 35 hours instead of 40 hours a week. But, you know, and it instantly tells you, oh, wow, you know, with six people, I got a potential for, you know, $300,000 a year. with 12 people and on and on in seconds. So you really quickly grasp that, just what you're talking about. You know, what do these dollars equate to?
Well, that's good, because I did this early on. Is, you know, I think most people, they roll out of bed, they lick their finger, which way's the wind blowing, they set a goal. Right? Like, oh, that's what right. I'm going to sell this year. It's like, okay, you could sell that this year, but can you produce it? Like, exactly. You can't. Yeah, you really could sell an infinite amount of money, but production right. is going to be the thing that always holds you back from making more money. So
absolutely.
All right, here's a question. This is, and I'm apologizing in advance, because I know you could probably take this 18 different ways, but you know me and you came on the show willingly. So here we go. Chicken or the egg? Do you hire first? Do you get work first?
I would almost always get work first. Now, that is partly dependent upon your job size. And you hit on something a couple minutes ago about the big remodeling projects versus the typical specialty service contractor jobs. You know, bigger jobs require a slightly different planning, you know, horizon, if you will. But on the smaller jobs, I would get the work booked out a couple months if I can, because then I know, then I've got the work. I need a little bit of extra capacity, and you can almost regulate that a little bit, as long as you got a good enough reputation to push people out to, you know, to manage when you're hiring. I mean, again, this really works well in the early stages where you probably don't have enough cash and you're really worried about, as you said, can I pay these guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could make the case either way.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm thinking of a guy I used to coach many years ago. He was in the landscape industry. And now I got a full disclosure. His, I suppose I can share. Some detail, but his mom. So this dude, he grew up in like a total abundance thinking mindset. He grew up, his mom was like literally one of the top people in the Mary Kay organization.
Yeah.
And anyone that knows anything about like network marketing companies, that they do a ton of like personal development stuff.
Right.
Like that's one of the things I think they do really well, is they get you thinking right. So this kid, this guy, he grew up in that environment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So when it came time, I remember I'm coaching him and we're having this call. And I said, you know, what are your plans for the year and this and that? He says, well, I'm going to grow. I think he said, I'm going to grow by 750,000 this year. And I said, how do you plan on doing that? And he says, well, I'm just going to find the crew. And I'm going to hire a new crew. And I, nobody ever says that. Right. And I'm like, I said, man, you know, talk to me about that. And he says, when I hire the crew, the work shows up. Like that's just what he believed. And sure as shit, Tom, he did another almost $1 million the next year, and he put on another crew. And that was literally, so I can make the case either way, because I do believe that when you do hire the right team and you put it there, it's not to get woo woo on everybody, but I think it sends a message to the universe like, hey, we're available. So,
yeah. Tom, I am so on board with that. You can't even possibly imagine.
talk to me about that. Yeah.
It is all about mindset. Unfortunately, I started out as an accountant before I got into software. So I have that, you know, conservative outlook to some extent, but I believe that whatever I believe will happen. And so if I make a plan and I write it out, 99% of the time I hit 90%+ of my plan. So I'm totally on board with that. And if I don't plan it out or think about it, you know, or put it out there, then it doesn't happen. I mean, you know, writing it down, someone probably, I wish they'd done it to me earlier in my career, just said, you're writing this stuff down? I'm like, wow, that's a good idea. It works.
Oh, it is so crazy, you guys, that what you focus on, good or bad, you get more of. Again, we're not gonna get all the how it works, because I'm not even sure how it works, Tom. But I just know it works. Fighters, don't miss out on Mile High Profit Summit 2022. We're going to be outside of Denver and Westminster, Colorado, September 14th through 16th for the epic premier, most kick-ass event in the construction industry this year. One of the speakers there is my good buddy and my personal coach, Ben Newman. If you don't know the name Ben Newman, just go ahead and Google it. But listen, he's a highly regarded performance coach, international speaker, best author. He works with the NFL, PGA, NBA, MLB, UFC, NCAA. In fact, he is the mental conditioning coach for the 18-time national champion in Alabama Crimson Tide football team. and he's worked with players all over the NFL and a huge influence in my life personally. So I encourage you to get your butt to Denver in September and be in the room with 500 other contractors that are totally going to level up their game as business owners, as people, as partners, as spouses, because that's what we do in the contractor fight. And as always, tickets are half price for your spouse or business partner because it's that important that your other half is in the room with you. When you get everybody rowing in the same direction, good things happen. So head to thecontractorfight.com, click the menu where it says Profit Summit, and get your butt to Denver. I'm out.
I want to rope it back here, Tom, and have you talk about Estimate Rocket a little bit, you know, just some of the cool features you have.
Sure.
But before that, you guys, I'm telling you, if you're walking around telling yourself nobody wants to work, then all you're going to see is people that don't want to work. That's how you're going to attract. If you tell you, we'll use a stupid car example. If like I go look at a, you know, let me pick something crazy here, a red Volkswagen Golf. Okay. Like total random car. If I take my kid and I bring up a Golf because it's black, but we bought our daughter, one of our daughters, a black Golf earlier this year. That's probably why it's on my mind. I'm telling you, we went and bought that car for her and I see them all over the place now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And this is our reticular activating system, this part of our brain that basically says whatever we tell our brain or ourselves that is something's important to us, whatever we shine light on, the RAS, its job is it goes into overtime or overdrive trying to prove you right.
Yeah.
Okay? Yep. Think of it that way, you guys. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, Tom?
So true. It really is. And it's one of those things that you, by writing things down over time, if you really go about this, it doesn't have to be a million things, but just start out small with like three or four things that don't even have to be work related, you know, life related, anything. Write them down and then take a look at it. And I guarantee your mind will be blown by how many of those things actually manifest.
Yeah, I'm sure you and I could talk for hours of the examples of that, of things that have come to fruition in our lives, our businesses. I know I have hundreds of examples, and it's so those listening, I know we're talking about many things here today, but I know a lot of you are struggling to hire, you're struggling to find people. And Tom, we get a lot of tactical questions like, how do I find guys? Where do I run?
Right.
What is the guy? I'm just telling you guys, just start telling yourself every day, man, I can't wait to meet somebody today that's going to be a great fit for the team.
Right.
Just start with that.
But, yeah.
And that's the vibes and energy you're putting out to the universe. And that shit's going to come back your way.
Right. And I'm trying to hopefully see if I can hire some people. I'm hiring some people. Do you know anybody?
Yep. All right. Last thing I'm going to say on this, because this is my wheelhouse. I get excited, but I want to share this. There's a book called The Law of Attraction. I don't even know his name. I'm sorry. But anyway, it's one of the most tactical law of attraction books I've ever read. And the one thing I want to share with people on this is that holds us back, Tom, is I'll use a fitness example, okay?
Yeah.
If I'm 400 pounds, okay, and I hear like, oh, you got to write down affirmations, right? Everyone knows that. People will write down something like, I am lean and strong, right?
Yeah.
I'm lean and that's an affirmation. Well, when you're 400 pounds, if I'm 400 pounds looking in the mirror and I'm going, I'm lean and strong, there is a part of my subconscious and all that stuff that knows I'm full of shit.
Right.
Okay. And the book obviously does a much better job of explaining this. This is the Reber version. And so, so what, you know, I could sit here and I could tell myself all day, I'm lean and strong. I am lean and strong. But every time I look in the mirror, I see evidence contrary to that. Okay.
Right.
So, or I'm a millionaire, whatever it is. What I've learned from this book, which was game changing for me, was doubt is like the number one killer of the things that we want. And so in order to eliminate the doubt and the full of shit factor that we're talking about here, where like when you look in the mirror, when you're 400 pounds, is you need to tell yourself the truth. So to shift the affirmation, it's still an affirmation, but and this was game changing for me, Tom, which is why I tell everybody is, this book says, instead of saying, I am lean and strong, it would say, I am excited at the thought of becoming lean and strong.
Right.
Because that's a true statement. It's not a BS statement. When you say, I am a millionaire, versus, or I have a net worth of $10 million, right? Well, you look at your bank account, there's 17 bucks in it. You're like, I got a problem here. There's a disconnect. So I am excited at the thought of building my net worth to $10 million. I'm excited at the thought of the next employee that's going to walk through the door this month.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to throw that out for people with affirmations. So last thing, anything else on affirmations, mindset stuff, Tom, that you want to share before we dig into your
software? I'm just totally on the same page with you. And how you say it is really important, and coming up with things that work, and that, you know, I've found that works over time, that you start wording things a little bit different as you, you know, as you're writing down what your, some of your aspirations that maybe, you know, longer than a couple months worth. How you write them makes a difference, just like you're saying. How you say them to yourself makes a difference.
Love it, man.
Yeah.
All right. So somebody, they click a button, they purchase Estimate Rocket. Now they have access to this tool in their business. What are some of the features that you're most excited about for somebody that you're like, based on the feedback you get from your customers?
Yeah, I think the most exciting part is what you get after you put in a little bit of work on it. And I know this resonates with you because there's work involved, right? Yeah. Anything that's worthwhile gives you work. But one of my favorite quotes from one of our customers who's grown terrifically using the application is, just by doing the things that I'm supposed to do every day, I get all of this accountability and reporting that tells me how my business is performing. I thought that was just a great way to express it, because there are things you have to do. If you don't do them, it doesn't matter what tool you have, they're not going to happen. But what we do is, you know, first of all, streamline the estimating, quoting, and contracts part so you can get back to your customers. And that is, getting back to your customers in the early stages, in the sales stage, is critical. And that's what we do. We make that easy to do. You have to put a little effort to make the way you want it, because you can customize it. You know, we got it out of the box, but you want to make it yours. Once you do that, then all of a sudden it starts flowing. And then if you want to grow, now you've got something where it's not going to take you 20 years to train a new guy. A lot of guys, when they get to that spot where they want to grow by hiring a salesperson or an estimator, they stop dead in their tracks, because it took me 20 years. How am I going to teach somebody in a week? Well, if you have systems, you can do that. So that gets them out of the gate. And I think there's a lot of aha moments, you know, in the sales cycle, which is a critical thing for most service contractors. But then after that, you got to schedule the work, you got to invoice people, you got to collect payments and keep up with the whole business flow. And then you got to keep following up. That's probably the other thing that I get most excited about, is that we have intelligent automated follow-up. So, you know, you send somebody a quote, it's going to follow up. It's going to do a little drip campaign, not like, you know, the big marketing firms, but it's going to go out there and say, hey, just checking in. And those campaigns can be to yourself. So you can send yourself an email that says, hey, you need to call this guy. It's been 6 days since you sent your proposal out to him, or whatever it is. So you do both, because it's not all about just pure automation, because it involves you too. You have to be in there to be with your customers, you know, reach out to them. And the other thing is the reporting. We have accountability all along the way for who did the estimate, who's the salesperson on the job, who's the crew that worked the job, so that you can see and follow, you know, who's performing, who's not performing, you know, who's getting the estimates done, who's closing the most work. Is that the most profitable work? You know, you get to know all those things without being an accountant, without bugging your accountant to say, hey, you know, what did I sell last month? It's all right there.
You guys didn't exist when we did this. I had a spreadsheet that we would filter just what you said there. And this was game changing. Like, a lead would come in. This is the type of project it was. Then we would go, which salesperson, myself, my partner, one of our sales guys, whatever that it was assigned to. Then when we sold the job, we would assign it to a crew. We'd put the crew leader in there. And dude, what was cool about this, and then when we would job cost and stuff, we would literally be able to filter the best estimator and crew combo for profit.
Absolutely.
Based on job type. I'll tell you this real quick. Like one of our job types was, I was better at selling bigger projects than our other sales guys.
Yeah.
My mind got around the whole economy of scale a little bit better. And then we had one crew leader in particular that always knocked it out of the park on projects that were a little bit bigger. So when a lead came in, based on this info that you can provide in Estimate Rocket, guys, how you use this is, after a while, you learn like, man, hey, it's a job that's a XYZ type project. Send Tom out there to sell the thing. And when we get it, have so-and-so's crew do it. Yep. You know?
Yeah.
And it, that's how profits go up like crazy. On the flip side, one of my other sales guys at the time was my partner at the time. He was amazing when it came to selling other types of projects. And I was horrible at them. You know? So like, guys, the data is so important. Because Tom, I bring that up, Tom, as an example, because a lot of people, they're like, I have this data. I've never had this data. I don't know what to do with it.
Right. And we try to present it in a way that makes it easy to act on. Like our profitability report, when jobs close, they show up on the profitability report. Mm-hmm. And you can clearly see, you know, one screen, you know, how you did estimate versus actual, what your actual profitability was. And this is all before accounting even gets it. So you can act on this stuff when the job closes. So each week you can go in and say, okay, here's the 10 jobs we closed, or 20 jobs, or 5 jobs, and here's how we did. Hey, and then what happened? So now you get to have a conversation with the crew and the estimator, in a lot of cases, or the salesperson, and say, hey, what happened? Because sometimes the estimator blows it. And the crew couldn't have saved that with, you know, for anything.
They couldn't have saved it with Jesus, man.
Exactly. Not even with affirmations. But it gives them that quick, that the thing is that you got to be able to do those things in a timely way. Otherwise, they get lost. You wait a month to review a job that happened, you know, 30 days or 60 days ago. Everybody's forgotten by that point. You do it the week after the job closes. You do a quick review of any jobs that were problem jobs or any jobs that were knocked it out of the park. And then everybody gets on the same page, and you can have a real honest conversation about what went wrong.
Yeah. So Tom, what's an underutilized feature that doesn't get the attention it deserves here, man?
Yeah, I think it has to be the production rate estimating. It takes a little time to get things dialed in properly, but once you've done that, it gives you consistent, profitable invoice estimates. You know what you're estimating, you know what you're doing going into it. And it really makes it easy to expand, because once you get that process dialed in, then you can train someone, you know, with a knowledge of whatever your trade is, but they don't have to know all the details of estimating the way your 20 years of experience got you. And it really opens you up to a lot of flexibility for expanding in that way.
That's huge. In the Marine Corps, we call that idiot proofing. So like you take a lot of the thinking out of it. Right. And so as we know, estimating is I could give credit to whoever taught me this. So I'm sorry if you're listening to this and I'm not referencing the person. I just don't remember where I heard it, but I was taught that estimating is part art and part science. Right?
Like unquestionable.
The science part, like for painting, is like, this is how many square feet of wall that we produce per hour for 2 coats based under normal conditions. The art part is access, how much prep work, all that other stuff. And what I'm glad you brought this up, because I think this is a deficiency I see in contractors a lot, is they don't have production rates that are consistent. Right. And then when it's like you said, it's harder to scale. It's harder to sell, train a salesperson. It's harder to know where you went wrong on a job. Like when you're recapping a job and going, okay, we gave 18 hours to the doors. How did we do on those? And you talk to the crew leader. Yeah, it's fine on the doors. And I bring that up because when I had my painting business many years ago, our crew leader came to us and he said, hey, you don't give us enough time for baseboards. And that's where most guys stop. Right. And so hats off to my crew leaders, because they were mature. Like, hey, you never give us enough time on baseboards. It wasn't like a bitch fest. It was basically, hey, I have an idea to make us better. I'm like, what's that? And they're like, you actually give us more time than we need on most jobs for doors. Yep. And you don't give us enough time for baseboards. So can you adjust the production rates so that we're more accurate? And I did it and it was fine. So that's how this helps you, you know, you want to be as right as you can, you know,
exactly. Up front. And then make adjustments.
Yeah.
If you know, you can, you get it down to what you really believe it's going to take to do the job. And then if you decide, okay, well, man, this is way out of our normal work area, or this has got some really high degree of difficulty things that we're going to have to bump it up for, you can do that, but at least you've got that, the core of, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what we think it is. And then you layer the oddball things in, the science, you know, the art things in, and yeah, I know that's going to be really hard. I know this person's going to make us do like triple cleanup or whatever for a particular job.
Well, and it's, you also, you know, like, hey, I remember last time we did a job like this, we got our butt kicked, you know, so let's, you know, yeah, the science part of the estimating production rate says this, but here were all the factors and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to double my price or whatever. And if I get the job, I'm going to win the thing.
Right.
So dude, that's cool, man. So any parting things that you want to share about what you guys got going on over there, what's coming in the future, what you've released recently, things you're excited about?
Yeah, we got quite a few things in the pipeline right now. I've been in the software business so long, I never say anything in advance, Tom, as much as I would love to. But we've been doing a lot of infrastructure work, behind the scenes stuff, and we're going to be doing some visible stuff pretty soon here. So very excited about that.
I can't wait to hear what you guys roll out. I do want to put it on people's radar that you guys have the Estimate Rocket podcast. Tell us a little bit about that and where people can find it.
Oh, Estimate Rocket podcast is awesome. And actually Chris and Kathy do a super job on that. You can get that on any of the major podcast channels. It's called, I should know this, Tom. Hey, Chris, what's the name of it?
Estimate Rocket Radio.
Yeah, Tom. That's the name of it is Estimate Rocket Radio.
I love it.
You can and you can find that either going to our website. There's a educational events tab on our website, or you can go to any of the major channels. iTunes. I'm bad at this.
Spotify, iTunes,
Spotify,
good stuff. That's
yeah.
Right.
Anywhere you go for podcasts, we're there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good stuff. And last thing I want to plug for you guys, and I know you know you're going to be part of Mile High Profit Summit and all that stuff and hanging out with us there, which I'm super grateful for that you helped us there. But I want to put it on people's radar as well that you have your Vision Conference coming up in October, November?
November, yeah.
November. Talk to us about that, what it is. I know it's in the Boston area.
Yeah, we're going to be having it in Boston. We're really looking forward to it. We did it last year over a series of weeks. This year, we're going to do it as a two-day conference. We're very excited. It's about profit planning, sales and profit planning, and putting together what you need to run your business and do more planning and goal setting so you really know what you're trying to achieve and you have some data to back it up. Very excited about it. Yeah.
Good stuff. And as always, I know that'll be a high level thing that you guys deliver with the content because you guys are good at what you do. So,
thank you.
Absolutely.
We try.
Well, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. And like I said earlier, I've loved watching you guys just capitalize on the momentum you've gotten. You keep meeting needs, keep getting better. And, you know, you're going to continue to succeed because you continue to help people. And that's the root of the whole thing, man. So,
we're really excited for the Mile High Summit. And because all of the things that you offer, Tom, really support our mission of providing systems to help service contractors build their businesses. We need you.
Yep. We need you too, buddy. So it's all good. And, listen, man, where could people find you guys before we get out of here?
EstimateRocket.com.
Well, that was complicated. So. Guys, they got a lot of good stuff on the website. They got different events they got going on, great content in their blogs and articles and other tools. And there's like, it's good stuff, guys. It's not your typical software company. And that's why I love you guys. So, well, Tom, thanks so much for hanging with us here today. Can't wait to see you in about 36, 37 days, whatever it is in Denver. And we'll have a great time and change some lives, man.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thank you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you.
You got it, buddy. We'll catch you next time.